Okay, today is March 19th, 2014. This is an interview with Lori Steckervitz.
Steckervitz.
See, yeah, I knew this was going to happen. This interview is being conducted for our Madison LGBT Community 1960s to the Present Oral History Project. My name is Troy Reeves, and I head the UW-Madison Oral History Program. So, Lori, for sound quality purposes, could you say your name and spell your last name?
Sure. It's Lori Steckervitz, S-T-E-C-K-E-R-V-E-T-Z.
Great. All right, so I'm going to get this a little closer to you, and I'm going to turn up the mic gain a little bit. By doing that, I'm going to have to project a little bit to make sure my questions get heard.
Okay.
So I'm not yelling at you. I'm just trying to make sure my questions get on the interview. So the first question, Lori, we agreed on was to ask. You had told me when we met that you came to Madison about 15 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to start with an open-ended question about why Madison and why that time.
Let's see here. So that was 1999. I had been doing my undergraduate at a small state university in Pennsylvania, and I wasn't happy with the situation there in terms of just my education. It wasn't the right program for me. And in 1997, 1998 is about when I started coming out. And the area where I grew up, Lancaster, Pennsylvania, at the time was not, I would say, a particularly safe place to be as a gay young person. There was just an environment that I did not feel safe, generally speaking, being out in. And so I was looking for the right fit for me academically, but I was also looking for the right environment for me in terms of my coming out process. And was looking at a bunch of different places, and a friend of mine came to Madison. She was a student at Oberlin College in Ohio, and she came here for an LGBT conference and just fell in love with the city, emailed me or contacted me right away after her experience, and was just basically, you have got to go to Madison. You will feel much better there. It's a great environment. And at the time, I didn't want to move to a super big city because I just didn't feel like it would be good for me. I thought I would get swallowed whole kind of in that. So I checked into UW-Madison. I saw that it had the academic program that I would be most interested in, and state residency was really easy here. So yeah, at the time I was 23. No, let me think about that. Yeah, I was 23, and I just packed up my bags and I left. So I just moved here sight unseen.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you said coming out was, there was a coming out process before or as you were who were you out to at that point?
By the time I moved in 1999, I was out to all of my friends that I was still in touch with, which was mostly college friends and a handful of high school friends. And I was out to my parents, but that was at the time not well received at all. It was one of those things where I kind of came out to them, but they weren't ready to hear it, so I kind of dropped it, and it actually took me trying to talk to them probably two more times before we were able to kind of take the next step forward in terms of them being able to accept, digest that information and move on with it.
Okay. So did those conversations happen after you came here?
The first one happened probably about 6 months, maybe 9 months before I moved. And then once I was out here, it was probably another 2 years until I was in a really serious relationship and had realized that in order for that relationship to be able to progress and for me to be able to have what I felt like was a normal family life, I needed to revisit it with my parents and have it more drilled into their heads that no, it wasn't a phase and this wasn't going to change, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So those conversations happened mostly long distance with me here and them in Pennsylvania.
Okay. There's probably some more I'm going to ask about that, but not, I want to bring us to Madison.
Yeah.
So you came here, did you say you came here sight unseen?
Yes, me and when I moved here, I was actually dating someone, and we both were in a place where we just needed to get away from Lancaster and Pennsylvania and just someplace new. We actually ended up breaking up not long after we moved here. But yeah, we both moved here in 1999. So I think Google was new. And I think I got an apartment online, which was terrifying at the time because who did that? And yeah, the first time I had ever been to the Midwest, the first time I drove through Chicago, all of it was when I moved here. So we just packed up a moving truck and got this apartment online. I didn't have a job, but I found a job within 2 weeks of moving here, which I guess back then you could actually manage to do that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then my plan was to establish state residency because since I was 23, I figured once I turned 24, the federal government recognizes you as an independent student because my parents couldn't afford to help me with school.
Mm.
So that way I could get the maximum amount of loan money. So my plan was work for a year, become a state resident, go back to school, finish my degree. It took a little longer than I thought it would, but that was generally what the plan was.
Okay. So let's get some specifics here. Mm-hmm. Where is this apartment that you... rented online.
Yeah. So it was off of Badger, on the south side of town, which to me meant nothing. I encountered some interesting attitudes here, when I first moved here and of that being an unsafe neighborhood, though, frankly, it was just low income and all families. And then I got a job working in basically a call center for a health insurance company on the west side of town. And did that for 3 years before I made it back to school.
So I think I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about the girlfriend. So obviously that relationship happened before you came.
Yeah.
How did that begin?
She's actually the first woman I ever dated. So we both went to Millersville University, the small state school, that state university that was basically 5 minutes from my house, so where I grew up. And she was Genevieve. She was friends with some friends of mine, so we kind of all started hanging out together. And at the time, she had self-identified as bi, and I was very far into the closet at that point in my life, but was just kind of like, huh, I have never met anybody who identified that way. And I feel like it was through the course of us becoming first friends and also then meeting other people in her life who were also out in some way or another that I was able to kind of break down the barriers and walls that I had around myself at the time.
There might be more I want to ask about that as we venture on, but I want to continue the discussion about Madison. So you broke up soon after coming here. Where did you start to find, you know, groups or communities of people to befriend or to hang out with?
It was an awkward situation because we both ended up finding jobs at the same place. And then our relationship ended. So a lot of the friends that I formed at first, the friend group I had at first, was basically people that we both had met at the call center that we were working at. Though not long after that, I ended up getting a second job bartending. And if you've ever worked in food service, the restaurant industry is one of lots of going out afterwards. Mm-hmm. So it was basically that became for a while the people I probably spent the most amount of time with. And it was a lot of going to, at the time Club Five was probably not only the only gay bar to go to, but was also the best place for dancing at the time. So that's usually where I would spend a lot of time with that particular group of people.
Okay. What bar was that?
Actually, I was bartending at Red Lobster, which, you know, we got done at 10 o'clock and then we would go out.
So your path to UW-Madison took a while.
It took a while. It took longer than I thought it would.
Mm-hmm. Why is that?
I think that there's something to be said about how easy it is to get comfortable. I wasn't happy with what I was doing, but I had a steady paycheck. I had health insurance. I had an apartment. I had all these things that provided kind of a easy, stable life. And going back to school at the time felt really scary to me because I left the previous institution where I was a little bit under duress, I would say. I'd left not feeling good about what I was doing with myself academically. Mm-hmm. And I was really nervous about going back and facing possible failure. So it was really easy to kind of just coast for a while. So it took 3 years to get back.
So what, was there an incident that changed that?
At the time, I think it was a combination of meeting someone and getting involved in that serious relationship I referenced earlier, where I felt like it was time to push coming out to my parents again. I think that became the major motivator of realizing that what I was doing wasn't what I wanted to be doing, and it wasn't the best application of my skills. And so that relationship helped to give me confidence and kind of motivate me. And she was really good at like getting me even just to fill out the paperwork and do what I needed to do to get myself back in.
How did you meet her?
How did we meet? I have to think about that for a second. Kind of in that situation of, I said about going dancing all the time at Club Five. It was kind of bumping into a group of people, and she was one of them, and us striking up a conversation, and then kind of seeing each other in that environment a few more times, and then finally started dating.
Okay. So you referenced Club Five as a, you know, as a gay bar and also a good place to dance. Were mm-hmm. there other places in town where you felt safe?
Generally speaking, in Madison, I felt almost from the time I moved here, it was a fresher breath air compared to the environment I had been living in. I'd been harassed multiple times where I was living. I had some bumper stickers on my car, and like, so I remember this one time back in Lancaster, sitting waiting to order something at like Taco Bell, and a group of guys were in a car behind me, and it was me and a friend, a male friend, who happened to have really long hair. And they started yelling at us and all sorts of crude profanities, and actually took their car and kept bumping my bumper. So I had experienced harassment personally. In the city next to us, in York, I had a friend who was a student at Millersville who had actually been stabbed, and it was definitely a hate crime. He survived, but it was just not safe at that time. So when I moved here and realized that, generally speaking, people were out, I just felt really safe. And I can say that since I moved here, I've never been in the closet since moving here in work environments. I think when I moved here, I also just took ownership of the fact that I refused to live in that environment again. Mm. And I was just going to start owning my identity and just putting it out there, whatever the reaction would be. And almost immediately, the reaction from most people here was, okay, so, I mean, in that sense, I felt safe everywhere. But at the time, when I first moved here in 1999, I kept hearing about, oh, Hotel Washington was the place, and it apparently, I think, burned down or something. So mm-hmm. Club Five was pretty much it. The other places that are around now did not exist.
You spend time in any of the bookstores?
Oh, yeah. Room of One's Own, for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think where else we probably spent a lot of time, but there were some other places. The Cardinal was fine, and there was this old place called Ray's that was just a complete dive, but sometimes you went there, too. But
so part of why we're doing this is you're not only because this is for a specific LGBT project, mm-hmm. but you are a librarian, whether mm-hmm. you have the piece of paper or not. You've mm-hmm. been working at libraries. So I want to spend just a few minutes here at the end asking about your initial path into librarianship.
Sure.
So when did you first, when did the inkling of being a librarian first hit?
Actually, probably quite some time ago. I was still finishing up my bachelor's here, which I graduated in December of 2004. And my partner at the time, the person I was with when I started back in school, is also a graduate of SLIS. And graduated in 2004 as well. And I had a lot of conversations with her about the courses she was taking, and I was always really interested. But I just at the time thought I had a different career path. And then I came back here to take some classes in Geographical Information Systems, GIS, out of the Geography Department, and spent some time in the MAP library and talking to the librarian there, and you know, it's right next door to SLIS, and it kind of just started maybe planting seeds in my mind of like, GIS is some data management. Data management is kind of like librarianship. This might actually be an interesting career path. And then just with some frustrations I've had with my where I was going, working at the Department of Natural Resources and thinking I wanted a career in conservation biology, and just every time I thought of getting a master's degree in that area, I just, there was a mental block. I didn't want to do it. I started thinking about librarianship again and thought that my combination of a science background and would be an interesting asset to have in librarianship. The part of research I've always enjoyed the most was actually probably like the lit review or finding information for people. So ultimately it was a conversation with now my ex, who's a graduate from this program. She had secured a job where she would have been really lucky to have a science background, and she didn't. And so she really encouraged me, saying, you know, I always thought you would really enjoy this career path. And, you know, if you and I had competed for this job, you would have gotten it because of your background. So I think it's something worth looking into. And that's kind of what landed me here.
Okay. And I think from your resume, you've continued to work for DNR mm-hmm. during this time?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do they know of your exit strategy?
Yes. They've been really supportive. I'm really fortunate. I have a super supportive supervisor who also happens to have an MLS, and somehow her career path just went in the other direction than mine.
So how long have you been? I know we want to talk about librarianship, but I think it's important. How long have you been working for the DNR then?
I've been there for 7 years. Wow. I graduated with out of the Wildlife Ecology Department with my BS, and worked for a researcher for 2 years doing field work. And then after I took some of the GIS classes, I was able to get a job at the DNR. I've had several different positions or projects that I've worked on, but it's been 7 years.
Okay. All right, so let's get back to librarianship, and mm-hmm. This might be our last question.
Sure.
For this time. So once you got into SLIS, what were your initial impressions of, you know, the coursework, your cohorts, the faculty?
Very positive. I was I felt almost from the beginning, I felt like I knew I was making the right decision for my career. And I had a lot of experiences with just even the initial classes of having that confirmed for myself when, as far as just learning about information management and seeing my place in that from a science point of view, with like research data management. So taking like a class with Dorothea Sallow and realizing that there is this whole branch of librarianship that I wasn't even aware of, where I could possibly still keep my toes in the water of the discipline that I have a background in. But I felt like it's a super supportive environment. I felt like from the beginning, and I still feel this way 3 years later, that the staff is super supportive, that I could go in and probably talk to any faculty or staff member and have a conversation and feel supported in that conversation.
Maybe one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
For some reason, I'm always interested in geographically where you end up. So mm-hmm. you started on the south side. I assume you didn't stay in the no. south side.
No. I wanted to be closer to campus, but I didn't ever want to actually live on campus. So I bounced around actually a couple different places just because for a time I owned dogs and dog ownership in Madison is really hard to rent an apartment. But I've actually spent the better part of the last, I'm going to say 6 years on the Near East Side, so the Atwood neighborhood.
And most people who live there, from what I know, enjoy the experience. Is it the same for you?
Yes. Yep. It has its moments of being a little, I don't know, a caricature of itself, Portlandia-ish, mm-hmm. but it's a good place.
Is it a tendency to be too Madison?
Yes, sometimes, but...
I want to give you space
mm-hmm.
to, if there's anything that's on your mind from what either I've asked or what has been brought up by what you've said that you either want to clarify or get on the record just in case we forget to talk about it next time.
Let's see here. Off the top of my head, I can't think of anything per se. I mean, maybe in terms of you might further explore this, but when you asked me the question about my impressions of the environment here, I think one of the things I constantly hold it up to is while I've always felt safe in Madison, especially being out and identifying as lesbian or gay, my experience as an undergrad in a different department in a different college maybe had a slight chilling effect. It wasn't ever an issue, but it certainly wasn't something that I talked about a lot. So I think one of the things that I really enjoyed here at SLIS is just the fact that, like, informing the LGBTQ library group, there was always immediate support of that,
mm-hmm.
which was not something I experienced even as an undergrad here. It wasn't necessarily appropriate in terms of I was in a science discipline, that was my focus, but I was also probably the only out person in the entire department. And I think that I can't help myself but make, when I talk about SLIS, I make comparisons to that experience.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't feel threatened?
No.
But... I mean, can you try to sort of pin how you felt?
It was just, it was always the assumptions were made about who I was, and I could always, in terms of, like, nobody was ever negative about, oh, if I said, oh, my partner, and, you know, used the said she, but it was, I would say the department had a tendency to be also just not super warm towards women in general. So I don't know if it was a combination of things. But it just, it wasn't a place where I would spend a lot of time talking about my personal life. So I was out, but I wasn't, and I tend not to be I'm very open about my personal life, but I don't need to like run around with giant rainbow flags or anything like that either. Mm-hmm. But especially in conversations with students or some faculty, I wouldn't necessarily go into great detail about, oh, my personal life of, like, what's important to me outside of school.
Mm-hmm.
So it was a different environment. It wasn't as personable, I guess I would say.
Right. So perhaps the double whammy of being a woman in science, but also being an out lesbian
yes.
in science.
It seemed to, I was definitely, I felt like I was that was one of probably only the times in my life where I could feel myself being kind of a marginalized person, where I don't necessarily, especially in Madison, have often felt that way.
Mm-hmm.
But it was specifically in the context of being a student in that environment. And it got better as time moved on. By the time I graduated, I felt less of that. But and I also think it's something to do with, you know, that was still the early 2000s. So I think culture has changed too.
Mm-hmm. And the changing culture is something we're going to talk about
mm-hmm.
In either our next or the last interview we do.
Okay.
So Anything else?
No.
All right. So this concludes the first interview with Lori Steckervetz.